to a son, you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. A savior. And then we go on the other side of the story of the Christmas nativity, and we come to Jesus being brought by Mary and Joseph into the temple. And as they bring him into the temple, there's Simeon, a devout, righteous man who has been waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit had told Simeon, you will see the Christ child, the Lord's Messiah, before you die. And when Jesus came in, the Spirit of God confirmed in his heart that this is the one. And so Simeon took Jesus, the baby Jesus, into his arms. And then he said these words out loud, the Lord's salvation has come. My eyes have seen your salvation. God had come. It was affirmed. And at the heart of it is salvation. The word salvation could really literally be translated to mean rescue. When Jesus came into the stable or the house or whatever the residence was when he was born, in that moment, God launched his rescue mission for our world. We talk about on the Advent candle of hope and peace and joy and love, and those are all a part of the story. But at the very heart is the fact that when Jesus stepped into our world, our broken world, through the prophets, as we read earlier that Julie read, there's going to be one coming who's a mighty counselor, the Prince of Peace. And when that one comes, those people who had been abused and had taken it on the chin, they mentioned there in the start of that chapter in Isaiah that the land of Naphtali and Zebulun will no longer be in gloom. Because every time an invading army entered in to fight the Israelis, those were the two tribes that took it on the chin. They took the brunt of the armies that came in to invade the country. But there will be no more gloom because the Messiah has come. God came to rescue humankind. He came to rescue our world. The advent, the coming of Jesus, made it clear that God's rescue operation for humans and our world had decisively begun. Jesus, the baby, born at Christmas, was now the one who was the Lamb of God, who gave his life. He lived and he died and he rose again to launch this mission into our world. The coming of Jesus and the coming of the kingdom of God, bringing heaven to earth and helping us all to be a part of God's kingdom, was not going to happen through a mighty army. That was the thing that they struggled with in the day of Jesus. They assumed that the Romans would be overthrown. They wanted Jesus to be that mighty king that would raise up an army. But this is not how God's kingdom would come. God's kingdom is not going to come through nuclear weapons, through aircraft carriers. It's not going to come through mighty force. And we may think in our day, well, that's what we need to do if we're really going to have righteousness reign in our world. You may have heard this past week that Russia announced that it has developed a hypersonic missile, a missile that they can shoot right out of Earth's orbit up into space and then will come at Mach 5 speed down at 3,800 miles an hour towards its target. Now, that's frightening, but they have that. They've developed it. So we might say, well, our response needs, we need bigger and better missiles and bombs. But God's word says Jesus Christ is going to rescue our world, not with weapons and bombs or aircraft carriers. Jesus, the humble child of God, came into our world and gave his life, and he invites us to be a part of that rescue mission, not through muscle, not through power, but through self-sacrifice and demonstrating the love of God through our lives. This is what it means for God's kingdom to come to earth. This is what it means for God to launch his rescue mission in our world. We are living between the first advent and the second advent. Christ came 2,000 years ago, and he's coming again. We may begin to get sort of a blurry vision and wrapped up in life and doing what we do, but we must not forget he's coming again. I appreciate how the Apostle Paul expresses the coming of Jesus. It's interesting to see how the epistles express the coming of Christ into our world. And so Paul writes to Titus, his young friend, and he says, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. God came to save us, to give us new life. We understand that. We open our hearts to the good news of God's love and accept it. He simply says, Paul simply says, he appeared. He doesn't go into the nativity narrative. He doesn't talk about shepherds or wise men. Simply, he appeared. And when he appeared, he saved us. And then Paul goes on a few verses later in that third chapter to Titus, and he says, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. And we might scratch our heads and say, well, Paul, you know, in light of all the evil and all the issues in our world, all you're saying is that we're to respond to God's salvation and do good? And I think Paul is hitting the nail on the head. We're to be God's people in the midst of a broken world, to go out and live lives that are righteous and holy and extend the goodness of God to those around us. Then Paul goes on to stress what I had said just a moment ago, but I want to share a quote here from a writer, L.R. Nost. Speaking of this very same thing, he said, do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break. Then he says, all things can be mended, not with time, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, love extravagantly, love unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light of God's love that is in you. And each one of us are channels of the light and the love of God to go out and be a part of God's rescue mission in our world. The second coming of Jesus is at the very heart of Advent. We celebrate the coming of Christ and then we move on with life. But if there's anything you take away this morning, I hope we can remember that there is a second Advent. God is not done. His rescue mission continues. Jesus will finish the work he begun. He will banish all evil and death forever. We have had quite a number of funerals and memorial services here at Pierce Church over the past several months. And it's a wonderful reminder to say that death will be destroyed. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or tears, as John writes in Revelation. And so the Apostle John, again referring to him in his first epistle, he said these words, dear children, continue in him, continue in Christ, so that when he appears, there's that word again, so when he appears in the future, the second coming, we may be confident and unashamed before him at that coming. John reminds us he's coming, do not be confident and do not be ashamed because you're going to be seeing the Christ, the King, the Lord of Lords. He's coming again. Through the birth of Jesus, the first Advent, God launched his rescue mission in our world. And we can anticipate the second Advent and we are called to live as followers of Jesus right today. Live our lives as kingdom people to share the kindness of God. Extend the kindness of God. Whether we're in the workplace or in our neighborhood or in school, if we leave here today, say, Christ is coming again until he does. I want to be a part of that light in the world. I want to be an extension of the kindness of God into our broken, hurting world. God's purpose for us is not that we should sit around in our recliners and fold our arms and say, well, God, come and fix it. And I think sometimes we get that mindset. If we just simply set aside and say, God, this is your work. I want to remind us, until he comes again, we are a part of that rescue mission in our world. He wants us to live lives that make a difference right now, wherever we are. He wants us to go out and be a blessing and a channel of God's healing grace to our broken world. One day, Jesus is going to come again. That's a part of Advent. We've celebrated the Advent, the birth of Jesus, but the second Advent is as vital, 2,000 years and counting. But he's coming again. He's coming to step into our world with love and justice. He's coming to raise all of us up to new life in his eternal kingdom. This is what it means that God came to live among us. We need to live our lives with joy and anticipation of his coming again. I want to close by just sharing a brief quote by Bishop Leslie Newbegin. He was an ordained minister in the Church of Scotland in the last century. But speaking of the second coming, this is what he says. The horizon for the Christian is he shall come again. The horizon for the Christian is we look for the coming of the Lord. It may be tomorrow, or it can be any time. But the horizon is what we look for. This makes it possible to be hopeful, even though there's hypersonic missiles out there. We can be hopeful because we can find new life and new meaning as we face our broken world and we anticipate that Christ is coming. And we, his people, are the channel of his love, of his grace, of his light into our world. We have an assignment. We're not spectators. We're participants in the second coming, in the hope to renew this world that is so broken. Rather than wring our hands and say, I'm not sure what's going to happen, let us live with confidence, with faith, and that Jesus Christ, as Paul said to Titus, he has appeared, and John reminds us, and he will appear again. And until then, we're called to live lives that reflect the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the hope of our faith. Amen. Let us pray together. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for coming in that first Advent. Thank you for the promise of the second Advent. Enable us by your Holy Spirit to live lives that are full of your grace, that reflect your light and your love. Even as we continue to celebrate this Christmas season, may we look to the horizon. May we look to the horizon, knowing that Christ will come again. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I now invite you to stand as we sing and respond with perfect lyrics to It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. As we sing of what has happened, what is happening, and what is to come, let us sing with that hope and joy that Harold talked about.